Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
There's big news breaking in the oil field. No doubt at least some of you have heard that Halliburton is trying to take over its smaller rival, Baker Hughes. As a result, this past week, Baker Hughes stock apparently went up nearly 20%. 20% may seem to be a decent return on investment, but there is much better return on investment in today's appointed gospel reading. In the so-called parable of the talents, two faithful servants, having traded with their master's money, bring their profits of 100%. This morning we consider the gospel reading under the theme, Faithful Servants and Their Profits. And that's not profits spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, but profits spelled P-R-O-F-I-T-S. In the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel account, today's Gospel reading comes immediately after last week's Gospel reading. And the two are very closely connected. Last week we heard how at the Lord's final coming, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who, ready or not, took their lamps and went to meet a bridegroom. Jesus concluded last week's parable by telling his disciples and us to watch or be ready, for they and we know neither the day nor the hour of his final coming. Our watching or being ready includes not only repenting of our sin and believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, as we heard last week, but our watching and being ready also includes doing good works, as we heard today. For in this week's parable, the faithful servants produced profits. Already earlier in this same fifth discourse of St. Matthew's divinely inspired gospel account, Jesus had asked who the faithful and wise servant was. And Jesus had said both that the servant's master would come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour when he does not know. And Jesus said that the master would put a wicked servant where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the parable of the talents that we heard today, a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property, his money or capital. At once, the two faithful servants traded with their master's money and made their profits of 100%. But the third servant hid his master's money as if to secure it against theft or free himself from any liability for it. After a long time, their master came and settled accounts with them, praising the faithful businessmen and condemning the wicked one. We do not want to get so caught up in finding correspondence for all the details of the parable that we miss its one main point. The judgment that is coming on a day and at an hour we do not know will be on the basis of faith as evident in our works. In the parable, the man going on a journey entrusted his property in the form of talents to each of his servants according to their ability. The Greek word for talent literally refers to a specific weight or value of money. And the Greek word and its use in this parable give us both our English word talent and its more figurative reference to God-given abilities. Yet in the parable, the talents of money and the servant's abilities are distinct. So the talents of money would seem to correspond to something else, if they correspond to anything in particular at all. The talents and how the servants made more by trading with them are not what seem to be important. What seems to be important is that the faithful servants made profits, while the wicked and slothful or lazy servant was worthless or unprofitable. In telling this parable, our Lord Jesus surely both intended for his disciples to ask what kind of servants they were, and intends for us to ask ourselves what kind of servants we are. Are we faithful and profitable? Or are we wicked, lazy, and unprofitable? At the time that the Lord spoke the words of today's Old Testament reading through the prophet Zephaniah, there clearly were some people who thought that the Lord would not do good nor do ill. That is to say, that the Lord would not come in judgment. Some think likewise in our time. So the Lord spoke and continues to speak through Zephaniah of the great day of his coming as bitter, a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, and a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against those thought to be inaccessible and unconquerable. And so the day of the coming judgment of the Lord will be all of those things. For those who are wicked, lazy, and unprofitable, as we all are by nature, and are so deserving of death. When the Lord comes, or when we individually die, whichever comes first, then he will settle accounts with us. If he does not find us profitable by grace through repentance and faith in him, then he will cast us into the outer darkness, where there will be eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. The prophets in the parable proved their faithfulness. They did not enter into the joy of their master because they were profitable, but they entered into the joy of their master because they were faithful. Faithfulness that produced 5 talents and faithfulness that produced 2 talents met as faithfulness that produced whatever interest the bankers might have given would have met the same lavish reward of grace. So in the parable, and so in the kingdom of heaven, God the Father, out of his love for us and his mercy on us, sent his only Son into human flesh in order to bear our sins to and to die on the cross. Now, out of grace on account of Jesus' sacrifice for us, God freely forgives the sins of all who repent and believe. As St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians by divine inspiration in today's epistle reading, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that we might live with him. Some think that Jesus spoke the parable of the talents specifically against Jewish leaders, such as the scribes and Pharisees, as wicked servants to whom much had been entrusted. And that may be. Some think that Jesus spoke the parable of the talents specifically to his 12 disciples as apostles, to whom much was being entrusted, and through whom he would reap where he did not personally sow, and gather where he did not personally scatter seed. And that may also be. For through the apostles and their successors, pastors even today, our triune God truly creates faith when and where he pleases in those who hear the gospel. That's the gospel, whether in preaching, with water in holy baptism, after private confession in the form of individual absolution, or with bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. And the stewards of those mysteries, the servants of Christ, are required to be found faithful. Yet, whether pastor or layperson, we all will face judgment on the basis of faith evident in the good works that we have done according to our vocations. Hearing the last part of Matthew chapter 25 next week, we might ask how aware we are of those good works. But we'll leave that for next week. The wicked, lazy, and unprofitable servant in the parable of the talents certainly understood how his master worked, but he seems to have misperceived him primarily as a hard man and feared him as a result. Some people today similarly misperceive God as primarily wrathful, which he certainly can be to those who do not repent of their sin and trust him to forgive their sin for Jesus' sake. Yet we who are baptized, who repent and believe, who are faithful and profitable servants, have no reason to fear. God is not wrathful to us. God is gracious and compassionate and merciful to us. If we do not have an abundant life here, we will certainly have it in the life to come. But already now, in the Lord's Supper of Christ's body and blood, we have a foretaste of the joy of our Master to come. Time will tell what will become of Halliburton's attempt to take over Baker Hughes and of the two companies' respective values and profits. And time will tell by our profits who all are faithful servants. Yet we who at this rail are strengthened and preserved in body and soul know that in time our faith will not be found lacking. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.